Hold on tight for the next hour. You're entering into a place, a zone called the alternative to the alternative media. It's a special place where even truth seekers fear to tread.
All right, people, let's move like you've got a purpose.
Affirmative.
Okay, folks, that's not true. You're debunked. It's a hoax. He's nothing but a conspiracy theorist. Okay, Greg Anthony here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com on this December 22nd, 2021 day. And how many times have you heard those words if you're a truth seeker? Probably millions, and it won't be the last time. And today, you know, we're back with a vengeance. I explained in the last couple of days I was on a hiatus due to the fact that I had COVID virus hoof and mouth disease, which meant I could no longer speak. And all I could do when I heard that crazy word is start singing. So I've spent the last 3 or 4 months singing, couldn't do my show, and said to myself millions of times, I'm not doing another one, and here I am. Never say never till the fat lady sings, and boy, that is racist in this politically correct world, isn't it? Just to say that. It's an old saying that Yogi Berra said, a baseball player. Anyway, Greg Anthony here. We're back. If you've caught my show for the last year, a lot of jokes, a lot of, ways to get over what's happened to the world since 2020. They call it the Great Reset. I call it the Great, fart. That never ends. But anyway, where'd that come from? Anyway, it's not the first Great Reset. And it won't be the last. And when I started this show years ago in 2004, I did it with the idea of uncovering hidden history, saying many years ago, how many lies have I been told? And once I started on that path, boy, the lies just that they tell us, that I'm talking about big business, I'm talking about big government, I'm talking about the Vatican, I'm talking about Luciferians, Freemasons, you name it. All these big guys out there controlling the world were nothing but goyim, they're slaves, and now they really are putting a noose around our neck. One thing on this show, we're not going to talk about a COVID. If you haven't made up your mind by now, God help you. And I hope you get on the path of righteousness and truth and save humanity, because this is a war in a new sense. Basically, take a shot, kill yourself. Anyway, let's get back to what I want to talk about. I did a very poor job of explaining hidden history in the first years of my show. Oh, we uncovered a few things here and there, but never really put a finishing touch on anything. I always start something and never finished it. And it kind of upset me, so I promised this time to give you a better outlook on things. But let's talk in general. How many times have you been debunked, like I said at the beginning of the show? How many times have you thought something was real, then it turned out to be a hoax, vice versa? There's so much out there that basically everything will be a hoax or will be true, probably in one part of your life. For example, I believed in Nikola Tesla as being a savior. He found this electricity, but did he really uncover something that was already known by the old world? And I don't have as much respect for Tesla now, because they do a lot of different things, and we're going to talk about that in the year 2022. Trying to put finishing touches on things, and I will always do this. Let you know what year we're going back to, and we may, in one show, go back and forth numerous times, from numerous decades, centuries, from the old world back to the new world, and I'm not going to do it in a sequential manner, like, let's go back to 4000 BC and work our way up, and by the time we get to 2022 AD, I'll be dead, because we only live such short lives. And that brings up a subject. Why do we live only short lives? When I was told in the Bible that Methuselah lived to be 969 years. Also that there were very large... Why are the trees so small? Why is everything so small? Well, there's a reason, and we're going to get to the bottom of that in 2022. That's if the internet is still here. Okay, so the last couple days, I've been debunked again on the Arco volume. Now, what is the Arco volume? And I explained it yesterday and read a passage from Caiaphas talking about the resurrection of Christ. Well, let me just refresh our memory. Reverend Mahan, we're going to 1850 now, because I want to put a finishing touch on this story, and leave with a conclusion that by a preponderance of evidence, this book is a hoax or it's real. And then we still don't know, but at least we've given it a good shot, right? And I think we have to do that with everything. And I'll prove that, too, in the second half hour as we move on to... Oh, we can go way back to the creation of time for this one, and then move all the way up to Copernicus. Then we can go to NASA. It'll be moving around if we get on that discussion. And I'm not just talking about whether it's the heliocentric or the geocentric model that you adhere to. I'm talking about specific places on our Earth that we need to know where we stand and where they are. That's hard sometimes. You think that we're advanced and we have good maps. We don't. All right. The Arco volume. Reverend Mahan, we're going back to 1850. They had invented the camera. I have no pictures of him. But anyway, Reverend Mahan was from Missouri, and he was a preacher. And he claimed that a man from... Germany came to his house on a snowbound night, and they got into a discussion, and it led to him wanting to go to the Vatican archives, whether they were in Constantinople or in Rome, and uncover some writings that this German told him about the story of Jesus that have not been told. So, at the end of their discussion, and this was in April 26, 1859, supposedly, Mahan was written by Mr. Vanterberger. I am in possession of a document from H.C. Wittemann with instructions to translate it into English. My charge is $10. I will expect an answer. And so they were communicating with supposed stuff that was in the Vatican archive. Now, you know what I felt about the Vatican archives. I was in Rome for a number of years. And I always wanted to get into that library. Since I was a born Catholic, I figured, why not? Hey, let me read what happened, what you guys know that I don't know. And boy, they protect it better than Fort Knox. And I really believe that if we knew what was in there, the whole world would be different. Okay, let's leave it at that. So Mahan, Reverend Mahan, ends up going there and finding all these documents, having them translated, and he presents this book. There's a number of chapters, for example, a short sketch of the Talmuds, Jonathan's interview with the Bethlehem shepherds, letter of Melchior, priest of the synagogue of Bethlehem. And today we'll touch on Gamaliel's interview with Joseph and Mary and others concerning Jesus. And he was a little boy at the time. What sparked my interest in this book years ago, and I referred to it on my show, and never really put a finishing touch on whether I felt it was by a preponderance of evidence it was real or whether it was a hoax. Or, you know, he's a plagiarizer. So... I presented it yesterday and told you, if you listen to the show, I said it could be real, it could not be. But I want to get into that a little more today to settle your mind, because I'll be called a debunker no matter what I say. Get used to it. And to ease your conscience, think about this. Attribution. When we talk, we think everything's so new that we've said it for the first time. Maybe it's come out of my voice a little different than another. But when you're a journalist, you realize that nothing you say probably hasn't been said before. And if you went through life every day stating this, I'd be attributing, for example, The Earth is a heliocentric model, said Copernicus. So I go on and on and on, but never giving attribution correctly. All right. So we all know that what I'm saying has probably been said before. And the same goes for you guys. So the Arco volume is now in print for God knows how many times. And I was curious years ago and read on this show the same report of Gamamele, but never gave you a conclusion. So we're going to get to that conclusion. But should we read it anyway? Well, of course. Why not? What do you have? Were you back there then? No. Were there pictures? No. Was there solid evidence? Well, we have some geological evidence, but even that gets always debunked. So you don't know the left from the right sometimes, correct? No matter what. For example, they'll debunk the fact that there were giant human beings, even though they found skeletons of giant human beings. Then they will also say that man comes from monkeys, and they presented a head that was debunked 3 years later after everybody in the world believed it. That's the difference, because the media is on the side of Luciferians. And they found out that the jawbone was from an orangutan. Okay, they it was a hoax. So there's so many out there. So I'm going to read that anyway. And that's the passage of Gamamele meeting Jesus, and not meeting Jesus, but meeting Mary and Joseph, okay? Now, the interesting thing about this is I always wondered what they look like or what their temperaments were. Now, in this book, he claims that he got this from the Vatican archives. And after I read some of the passage, we will discuss whether it's true or whether it's a hoax, and he plagiarized. So let's start here. Now, Gamamele is a Roman investigator, okay? Interviews Joseph and Mary, the mother, supposed mother and father of Jesus, and others concerning Jesus. Now, from an onlooker, you say, well, I'm going to go to the Bible and find out what Jesus was like when he was 10. Well, there's nothing much there. Was there ever anything that's in the Vatican archives that wasn't put in, and we'll just stick with the King James, in the 66 books they decided to put in, King James authorizing it? He also wrote a book about demonology. Now, I'm convinced that the Word of God is in the Bible. It's been changed in many different versions. Many say the King James version is the best. There was a Bible prior to that, the Geneva Bible, which is very interesting. It had footnotes. One of the footnotes I loved is they finally attributed the Antichrist system to the Vatican. Okay, so anyway, that was taken out of King James. But the footnotes, by the way. But what I'm getting at here is that, so how do we know? We don't know. So we search. Do you want to know what Jesus was like when he was 10, 11? I would. And if what I'm going to read is a hoax or it isn't, does it? We'll put a finishing touch on it, so you'll leave this show with me saying the preponderance of evidence shows it's a hoax, but we can't be sure. And or the preponderance of evidence shows that it probably is, as Reverend Mahan states. But think about this. Does that mean we should stop trying to figure out what's in those archives in the Vatican? Or stop trying to figure out what the truth is about Jesus? Even though we know this is the Son of God, that he was resurrected, that he's, you know, he came down. And all of those things in the Bible, I believe, are true. And I base that on a number of things. One, that's very important to me, maybe not to you, but these rulers of evil are Luciferians. They have information we don't have. They believe in Lucifer, which means they have to believe in God. Okay, and that's the higher-ups. A lot of these people running around calling them Satanists, themselves Satanists, really don't know. They just follow the leader. Oh, it's cool. Let's get horns put on our head. Let's get all of these tattoos. Let's go in black. Let's worship the black cube. Oh, that's an interesting story. And if you look at 9/11, I want to bring this up real quick. It's two cubes down there, black cubes, and it's a very satanic reference if you go back to the black cube. But anyway, standpoint, Greg. We're going to Gamaliel. Okay, now Gamaliel was a Roman investigator, kind of like I said yesterday, like Columbo. And he was sent out to find out who this Jesus is. Now, that makes sense to me. Wouldn't you do that? Romans were very meticulous in their record-keeping. So they send him out, according to the Arco volume. And he said this. It was written, these holy writings found in St. Sophia's Mosque at Constantinople, made by Gamaliel in the Talmuds of the Jews, 27 B.C., seems Gamaliel was sent by the Sanhedrin. Somebody clear this up. Is Sanhedrin spelled D-R-I-M or D-R-I-N? I see it both ways. To interrogate Joseph and Mary in regard to this child, Jesus. He says, quote, Gamaliel, the investigator, I found Jesus and Mary in the city of Mecca, in the land of Ammon and Moab, but I did not find Jesus. When I went to the place where I was told he was somewhere else, and thus I followed him from place to place, until I despaired of finding him at all. Whether he knew that I was in search of him and did it to elude me, I cannot tell. Though I think it must likely be the former was the reason, for his mother says he is a bashful and shuns company. Okay, Joseph is a woodworkman. He is very tall and ugly. His hair looks as though it might have been dark auburn when young. His eyes are gray and vicious. He is anything but prepossessing in his appearance, and he is as gross and glum as he looks. I never heard that about Joseph before. I thought he was a carpenter. Well, he was a carpenter. Okay, he is but a poor talker. And it seems that yes or no are the depth of his mind. I am satisfied he's very disagreeable to his family. His children look very much like him. And upon the whole, I should call them a third-rate family. I asked him, who were his parents? He said his father's name was Jacob and his grandfather was Matthew. He did not like to talk on the subject. He is very jealous. I told him that we had heard that he had a vision, and I was sent to ascertain the facts in this case. He said he did not call it a vision. He called it a dream. He said after he and Mary had agreed to marry, it seemed that something told him that Mary was with child, that he did not know whether he was asleep or awake, but it made such an impression on his mind that he concluded to have nothing more to do with her. And while he was working one day under a shed, all at once a man in a snowy white stood by his side and told him not to doubt the virtue of Mary, for she was holy before the Lord, that the child conceived in her was not by man, but by the Holy Ghost, and that the child would be free from human passions. In order to do this, he must, that is, his humanity must be of the extract of, that is Hebrew word for virgin, okay, the Alma, that he might endure all things and not resist, and fill the demands of prophecy. He said the angel told him that this child should be great and should rule all the kingdoms of the world. He said that this child should set up a new kingdom wherein should dwell righteousness and peace, and that the kingdoms of the world which should oppose him, God would utterly destroy. I asked him, how could a virgin conceive of herself without the germination of the male? He said, that is the work of God. He has brought to life the womb of Elizabeth so that she had conceived and will bear a son in her old age who will go before and tell the people of the coming of this king. After telling me all these things, he disappeared like the melting down of a light. I then went on and told Mary what had occurred. And she told me that the same angel, or one like him, had appeared to her and told the same things. So I married Mary, thinking I that it was the angel and had told us was true. It would be greatly to our advantage, but I am fearful we are mistaken. Jesus seems to take no interest in us, nor anything else much, said Mary. I called him lazy and careless. I do not think he will ever amount to much, much less to be a king. If he does, he must do a great deal better than he is doing now. I asked him, how long after the interview with the angel before the child was born? And he said, and Mary wasn't talking, excuse me. Is Joseph, I guess, still there? Yeah? Is that him? He said he did not know, but he thought it was 7 or 8 months. I asked him where they were at the time. He said in Bethlehem. The Roman commander had given orders for all of the Jews to go on a certain day to be enrolled as taxpayers, and he and Mary went to Bethlehem as the nearest place of enrollment. And while they were there, the babe was born. I asked if anything strange occurred that night, and he said that the people were much excited, but he was so tired that he had gone to sleep and saw nothing. He said toward the day, there were several priests came in to see them and the babe and gave them many presents. All the news got circulated that this child was the king of the Jews. And it was created such an excitement that he took the child and his mother and came to Moab for protection, for fear the Romans would kill the child to keep it from being a rival to the Romans. I discovered that all of Joseph's ideas were of the selfish kind. All he thought of was himself. Mary is altogether a different character, and she is too noble to be his wife and such a man. She seems to be about 40, 45 years of age, abounds with cheerful and happy spirit, and is full of happy fancies. She is fair to see, rather fleshy, has soft and innocent-looking eyes, and seems to be naturally a good woman. I asked her who were her parents, and she said her father was named Eli, and her mother's name was Anna. Her grandmother's name was Penel, a widow of the tribe of Asher, a great renown. I asked her if Jesus was the son of Joseph, and she said he was not. I asked her to relate the circumstances of the child's history. She said that one day, while she was grinding some meal, there appeared at the door a stranger in shining clothes. Which showed as bright as the light. She was very much alarmed at his presence and trembled like a leaf. But all her fears were calmed when he spoke to her, for he said, Mary, thou art loved by the Lord, and he has sent me to tell thee that thou shalt have a child, that this child shall be great and rule all the nations of the earth. She continued, I immediately thought of my engagement to Joseph and supposed that was the way the child was to come. But he astonished me the more when he told me that cousin Elizabeth had conceived and would bear a son whose name was to be John, and my son should be called Jesus. This caused me to remember that Zacharias had seen a vision and disputed with the angel, and that he was struck with dumbness, so that could no longer hold the priest's office. I asked the messenger if Joseph knew anything of the matter. He said that he told Joseph that I was to have a child by command of the Holy Ghost. Okay, I'm running out of time this half hour, but I do want to say, I may continue a little bit. You get the drift of Gamaliel trying to get to the bottom of Jesus. He wasn't there. Where was he? We don't know. And I still want to know. Don't you? Even if it's true or false. But anyway, we're going to talk in the next half hour and put a bow on this story regarding whether it's true or just a hoax, and then move on to another possible hoax. There's millions of them, and there's millions of truths. It is the job of a human being, I believe, to discern the difference. Back in 3 minutes on The Greg Anthony Show.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net. The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening. Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
The following program is labeled dangerous and off-limits by the supreme Jesuit command. But stand tall, people. Listen up, and you may just learn something.
Dear Lord Jesus, this ain't happening, man. This can't be happening, man. This isn't happening.
Okay, we're back for part two of the Greg Anthony Show on December 22nd, 2021, here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Back to my favorite hoax, or should I say my favorite book that uncovered secrets about Jesus' life. Well, we're going to get to the bottom of whether it's true or false, but first, we left off where Gamaliel, a Roman investigator, had interviewed Mary and Joseph, trying to find the whereabouts of Jesus so they may put him in jail earlier than they did, perhaps. But here's what she said. I'll read it. It's very short, but telling. And Gamaliel says, she said, that's Mary, that's one thing that vexed her about Jesus. He seemed to take no care of his person. He did not care whether he was dressed or not, or whether the family got along well or ill. It was all alike to him. She said she talked to him about it, and he would look at her a little grieved and say, "Woman, for such he always called me." He always called his mother woman. "You do not know who I am." Indeed, she said, he takes so little interest in the things of the world and the great questions of the day. They were beginning to despair of his ever amounting too much less be a king, as the angel said he would be. If so, he would have to act very differently from what he was acting at the time. I told her that the Jewish doctors contended that the amorous disposition is peculiar to the male. I asked her if she had ever seen in the private life of Jesus any signs of such disposition. She said she had not. I asked if she saw in him any particular fondness for female society. She said she had not. If anything, rather the contrary, that the young, the word in Hebrew for young women, were all very fond of him and were always seeking his society, and yet he seemed to care nothing for them. And if they stopped to be too fond of him, he treated them almost with scorn. Okay, so it goes on and on, gives you more your insights into Jesus' life. You can still get the Arco volume if you want to read it. on the internet. Okay, there you go. So now, this is the interesting part. Last time I left this story, and I said, well, it could be real, could not be, and then left it up to you. But, like I said, I was terrible at trying to uncover lost history in the old days, okay? And I'd leave loose ends, and I really want to change that, and this is the first example of how I'm going to do that. And you can bet that you'll stick with me the rest of the year, next year, because there are so many of these things that fall into the same category. Are they a hoax? Are they real? And they go in many different categories, some very important. I'm going to list the ones in 2022 that I think are the most important to discuss. Because I have a feeling you have to understand two things. You have to, well, several. You have to know what type of earth you stand on so that you can traverse and take the proper path on this in this worldly world we live in. Secondly, you have to know about the religion you came from and the faith that you came from, and to decipher that with truth. And then, secondly, you've got to know and understand who the hell your government is and the world government that's coming. And also, there's, you know, many, many things fall into that category, and we're going to try to get to as many as we can. Because the time is short, and we have a long way to go, and a short time to get there. So anyway, is the Arco volume true? Is it a hoax? Reverend Mahan started in the 1850s. He published it in 1884. And it became a huge success. The New York Times was there, he was a New York Times best-selling author. But then all of the criticism started to come. I could not find anything. First of all, you want to look at the main characters. Of course, couldn't find any. They're all deceased. But I couldn't find any information about the supposed German who came to his house that led him to the Vatican. I could not find anything about the translators. And of course, what I found out about Reverend Mahan wasn't too good. He was convicted by the Ecclesiastical Court of Heresy, whatever that court is. He was called a plagiarist on many different occasions. He'd written a couple other books that were also considered plagiarized. Every minister had debunked what he said in America and England. And the first article I found about him was done in 1931 by Edward J. Goodspeed. Okay, I had to research if that name is real. I want to be named Goodspeed, Greg Goodspeed. How about Slow Speed? How about No Speed? By the way, before I get going, I got a new sponsor that I have to get to about halfway through the show, and I will do that, okay? It's the Greg Anthony Magic Soap, and I put my name on it because it really works, just like all these other actors put their name on things they've never used, but say it works. But anyway, this one does work. Is that a hoax or is it real? Okay, so Mr. Goodspeed, he did a whole big article. He was the first one to tackle this subject. 19th century Christian hoaxes printed. Some of them included The Unknown Life of Jesus Christ, The Aquarian Gospel, The Crucifixion of Jesus by an Eyewitness. That's a good one. Well, I guess it was transcribed. Didn't live that long, unless he was from the old world, maybe lived to be 800 or 900 years. Pilate's Court and the Arco volume is there on page 42 of his book. And the Confession of Pontius Pilate, the Letter of Benon, the 29th chapter of Acts, the Letter of Jesus Christ, and it goes on in the index on page 109. All right, so what did he find out about our good friend Mr. Mahan, Reverend Mahan? Well, he claimed that it was a hoax, okay, that it wasn't, the book wasn't, he didn't use the word hoax, but he said the book is not true, okay? Just like the crucifixion of Jesus by an eyewitness was not true. And I'm looking at another one here. This is in 1931. And it's Pilate's Court in the Arkell Volume. Reverend D. Mahan, he says, Cumberland Presbyterian minister, Boonville, Missouri, published this pamphlet, like I said, and the book. And he basically came to the conclusion, this report with circumstantial account of how he came to know of the work and become process. He stated that while he was living in DeWitt, Missouri, a German scholar, we went through all of that. He did not, he gives you many, many reasons. I don't have time to go through them, but he claims that this cannot be true, okay? That he did it for financial reasons, etc. Okay. And you can go look up Mr. Edgar Goodspeed's book. And the book, what is it entitled? Let me go back to the beginning. Strange New Gospels. Okay. So, based on all of that information, I checked everywhere, could not find one good word or basically that, or verifying anything that he did. So I'm going to put a tag on it that the preponderance of the evidence shows that the Arkell volume is not for real. Okay? All right. Now, the question becomes, should we read it or throw it away, or should we pursue some of the subjects in that book that still interest you? Yes. And how do we learn something is real or not real? By reading it, by looking at it, by understanding it, even though there's so much out there, we have to pick and choose the ones that are most important to you. For example, when I started out, I said this years ago, back when I was in Rome writing as a journalist and then coming back to America and starting my radio show. I said, we've been lied to on occasion, and I wanted to get to those lies. Then I said, well, as the years progressed, we've been lied to many times. And then I said, we've been lied to so many times about so many things that are important. And it progressed to where I am today. We have been lied to about everything. Yes. And that word everything is quite important because it changes throughout the course of this trek to find the truth. I've said many times that I have said things that are hoaxes, believing them at the time or bringing them on the air and then finding out later that maybe I talked to the enemy and maybe the information is not true and et cetera, et cetera. And then I can look back and say, man, I did meet some people that I think, and basically others agree, really are getting to the point and followed the right path and really made my life better. But you know what? Also, the people that were hoaxes or the stories that are hoaxes make your life better too, because it gives you the ability to discern and to figure this out. And that's really what's happening. And it's more difficult today than I believe it was in the old world. Now, what we can do here, I have to take a break and make time for my sponsor. Okay, Greg Anthony here, and I'd like to welcome you to my new sponsor. It's called the Greg Anthony Magic Soap. Get your Greg Anthony Magic Soap at any retailer, including Amazon, Walmart, wherever. And let me tell you how proud I am to introduce this product. When you use Greg Anthony's Magic Soap, you automatically wipe away the curse of the Jesuit order. You automatically get rid of that spell that has caused so many people so much distress since the announcement of this hoax pandemic. And let me tell you, it sure works. If you use this product once a day for 30 days and you're not happy, of course we will give you your money back. However, if you can't find us during that period of time because we constantly move around, because we're wanted by the security police of the United States, Chinese United States of America, then I guess you're out of luck. But anyway, use Greg Anthony's Magic Soap and you can wipe away that spell that's con America upon the world right now where they think that this virus really exists. and you'll wipe away the curse of the Jesuits. Back with Magic Soap. Thank you for listening. Okay, did I just say back to Magic Soap? Yeah, I got to redo that clip, that one-minute commercial. I'll have to redo it before the sponsor pulls the advertisement and I don't get paid. All right, back to hidden history, lost history, trying to figure out what happened way back when. We can go back 100 years and try to figure out what happened, maybe even a week. But I like to go all the way back sometime to the old world and start working there and then moving forward into the new. And there's so many things. And we just tackled our first one, the Arco volume, which talked about some of the things in the book, stating that we learned a little bit about Jesus, but then we learned that most likely it's not a true book. But are we better for looking at it? Of course. Because one, I don't know how you feel, but I'm going to still start looking for more information regarding the life and times of Jesus Christ. He's a good figure. I admire it greatly. So why not want to learn a little bit about where he was between the year 0 and 33? And also some of the things that really went on that we don't know. Now, I say that there's a lot of information still available, and it's being hidden by the powers that be that are hiding a lot of things before your eyes. You see it now. And the nice thing about what's going on in the world today is many more people are catching on. And this is a great time to live. You're going to be tested. And I say this, put on your armor and go take the right path. And the way you get to the right path is by understanding what happened to you before, what happened to humanity before. And has there been a great reset? Of course. The last one, I think, we could talk about, I'm not going to do it today, is in the 1820s. And you're going to see that's a fascinating story, and I learned a little bit about that from a gentleman that I'm trying to get an interview with, who's presented so many great things that opened my mind up to more truth-seeking, adding things to my understanding that really have helped in the last couple months. And it gives you a perspective that you're never too old to learn, right? And once you stop and think you know it all, then you're in trouble, no matter what it is. Whether you think you know everything about the Constitution of the United States, which doesn't exist anymore, or whether you think you know everything about the Bible and your way is the only way, or whether you think you know everything about what's happening in the world today, it's a mistake. And the only way you really learn is a free discourse of information. That's not going on now. And you know, people are really upset about suppression, but I think it's a good thing, because by all of the people getting suppressed, think about it this way. That's probably the best evidence of where the truth lies. So we're learning a lot. Think about all the doctors. Think about everybody now. You can't go anywhere without somebody going, whoops, you can't say that. So you know where the truth lies, at least with what's going on now. We're going to forget about that, because there's so much out there, and I promised I'm not going to talk about it much, and I don't think we need to, because I'll say it again, if you haven't made up your mind now, then God help you. So anyway, all of a sudden, what are we going to do in 2022? Let me set the record straight. I'm going to do my last show today before Christmas, and then come back for a couple shows after Christmas, and then start out full-fledged in 2022. And hope you stick with me. But there's so many things that I want to get to, and let me give you an example, okay? Sometimes it's better to look at things in a macro and a micro way, and sometimes instead of seeing one thing and saying, oh, this is the way the earth is shaped, or this is the way it is, to look at certain things that we can handle. But what I'm getting at is yesterday, a beautiful time of year, the winter solstice, and the sun and the moon were together in the sky, I saw this morning. But last night it was a beautiful full moon, and I took a photograph of it with my Nikon camera. And I saw an outline there. And here's what I'm going to propose to you. There really aren't very many maps of the heliocentric theory and the geocentric theory that are totally accurate. Now, if you look at the moon, what you see up there, you always see the shadows, right? Let's say this, and I'm not going to just tease you with this. The moon, whether you believe it's a rock you can stand on, or whether it's plasma and you can't, and it's a reflection, we can discuss that, okay, and give both sides of the story. But anyway, what is on the moon there, okay? Could that be a reflection of what the Earth is like? Ah, now you're really crazy, Greg. We're going to discuss that in 2022. But it's never changed, yeah? Either does a photograph. And you've seen them, well, at least going back to 1822. But anyway, give you a little tease here. Oh, do you think that there... Here's another one that I love talking about. You've seen a push now in the mainstream media about aliens, right? They're even talking about it. Now, is the alien agenda a hoax, or is it real? Well, if you subscribe to the geocentric theory, it's got to be a hoax because you cannot get out of the firmament, right? We're like in a terrarium, okay? Water above, water below, stars in the water above, above the firmament, etc. That, by the way, move in the same manner all the time, okay? And we'll talk about that. What really is a star, okay? What does it look like through a high-powered camera? It's amazing what you'll see. And it isn't what NASA tells you. Okay, so aliens. My experience with them, not personal. I thought there are a lot of people out there that could be considered that. And you know my love for people. If you've known me for all these years, you know my love for people. And people are laughing. People know me go, does he really go outside and talk to people, or does he just talk to a microphone? But anyway, I can take them for maybe a minute, minute and a half. Then it gets too, you know, as George Carlin said, I don't like BS. That's all. And there's so much of it. And he made a statement. I wish he was around now. Could you imagine? He made a statement when he says, there's just enough BS to keep America together. You know, well, it's breaking apart now, George, and I'm sorry that you're not here to see it. So you would have a field day here today. But anyway, aliens. So years ago, I met a guy named Charles, I think his name was Charles White, or Charles something. And it's the show's still out there. And he was a weatherman in the military, and he had an encounter with the tall whites. And he goes to the alien conventions. He was even trying to convince me to take my motorhome to the place where I would see where they're coming in and out of Area 51. Or at, where was it? Not Area 51. It was a naval base in New Mexico, White Sands. Okay, and I was really considering it because I was trying, I'm going to figure out whether there really are or not. All right. So the question becomes, are there aliens? The preponderance of evidence is a key, and we're going to look at both sides someday when we get back to that story. And it's interesting now that the mainstream media prescribed to the theory of you can't believe a word they say. So now they're talking about it. The military is telling us all about this stuff. And, you know, I don't believe a word they say. And when the mainstream media starts agreeing, it really gets scary. So are they going to, you know, like, bring on some fake aliens, you know, they could do it. I mean, look at what they can do in Hollywood. They just try not to do the same thing so you don't get suspicious. You know, kind of like with the moon landing. So the alien agenda we will deal with, yes, because we have to find out what the heck is going on. And there are many things we'll deal with. For example, I love maps, and I'm looking at one right now. And it brought to mind our conception, and this is one I really think is important, and you may not, but what's your idea of the North Pole? Okay? Is it up on top? Is it in the middle? What's there? Now, Google Earth will show you nothing. They don't even, you know, the powers that be that believe in the heliocentric lie, I might add, I'm a little bit biased based on the fact I've already made up my mind because of the preponderance of evidence and the lack of it on the side of NASA, which is a corrupt organization. So anyway, North Pole, it's a good time of year to talk about it. Santa Claus comes from there. And that's about the last thing you hear. Many people just turned it off, give the gifts. And by the way, don't forget what Christmas is all about. In fact, there's nothing wrong with giving a gift. I give a gift, and I have a sweater that I always give to everybody. It says, don't forget the reason for Christmas and that Christ was born in the spring. Okay? And I haven't seen too many people wearing it, but that's my gift. For Christmas, I got about 30 seconds. So the North Pole, that's an interesting subject. We're going to talk about it. Let me tell you what Google Earth shows you. It shows you water. It's got to be basically Photoshopped, and you can really tell it's Photoshopped. And then the powers that be will tell you that it's ice, floating ice. That's the North Pole. Okay, is it something else? What did the old world say about it? What did many, many cartographers throughout the course of the centuries say about it or map it? Oh, it's a great story. And if we land our feet squarely on that, we may end up taking the right path someday. Back after Christmas. Merry Christmas to all of you. I'll see you after Christmas next week. Bye-bye.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded. Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.